Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Nuance Needed podcast. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Sam.
And we are here with a shorter episode probably, but who knows? We rant and then things get longer. So, you know, you never really know. But we are here because a lot of you all asked us to talk about this New York Times article that came out about a week ago that is called There's a Link Between Therapy Culture and Childlessness. And it talks about estrangement and therapy culture, and it's kind of right up our alley. So we're going to dig in.
So if you haven't read it, one, I would suggest...
We'll link it in the show notes.
Well, yeah, we'll link it in the show notes. I would suggest going through it because, as per usual, you can pull your own thoughts, feelings, and opinions on it. However, it is essentially... So this woman is walking through... She's using her personal experience as a millennial Gen Z cusper. She was born in 1996. She's using her personal experience through her childhood, some of the mental health struggles that she had now that she is pregnant with her own child, and being reflective of how there is a lot of social shifting going on right now in the way many adults are beginning to have estranged relationships with their parents, beginning to cut off their parents, and having a lot of resentment towards the way they were raised, the way their parents raised them, the way their parents responded to things. And she walks through also the concerns that many adults have about having children in general.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of, I will be honest, she doesn't really land the plane on the link between therapy culture and childlessness. Because what's hard is in the very beginning, she brings up a lot of very valid points of why people aren't having children.
She doesn't rebut them either. She does kind of state them as fact.
Yeah, she says too expensive, can't find the right partner, wanting to prioritize careers, concerns of climate change, Roe v. Wade, motherhood feeling daunting, like all these, and all these are absolutely valid and very real, some of which I feel myself. But then she goes into the expectations that adult children have of their parents, and this being reflective of how we might be having unreachable standards for our parents and the way we parent. And what's hard is, like, as you go through it, it's not wrong. She brings up good points, but it's just kind of this odd, like, well, they did what they could, and we need to figure out how to let that be enough.
Well, I think the plane she lands that I don't totally agree with is that people should have children to repair their relationship with their family a little bit. Like, I don't think she's saying that blatantly, but I think she's kind of saying that's how we, you know, she kind of says at the end, there's nothing that changes your relationship with your parents more than having a child, which I think is a hard thing to compare because everyone, whether you have a child or not, will impact how you think about that. But yeah, the solution isn't everyone needs to have children to then have a better relationship sort of with their parent, or that's kind of what she's insinuating, is that is maybe a problem with society, is maybe I think she's thinking that it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy where we're scared to have kids because we've been told by therapy culture and been too self-obsessed and individualistic that we're, you know, afraid of having kids. So we don't have them. So then we blame our parents more and then we never repair. Where if we had children, we would be more compassionate to our parents. We would see them as people. And then there would, we would forgive our parents sort of, and we would have less estrangement. And right, all of the stuff she talks about of we talk about where therapy culture is an issue, therapy misinformation is an issue,
therapy speak is an issue.
We've even talked about like some self-centeredness, like it can be very much an issue. You know, I think where I go totally differently is, and I am a parent, and nothing has made me believe this more than becoming a parent, is that my child doesn't owe me anything, actually. And there is this whole conversation in there of kind of like children do owe their parents. And I don't love, she talks to a sociologist or a psychologist about what are parental duties, what are child's duties. And I believe that children did not choose to be born. I agree also that we are making parenting too hard sometimes, and the pressure is insane. And if you want to hear our opinions about that, we did two podcast episodes about it. But yeah, I think it is unhealthy to go into having a child with duties, with the expectation that your child will fulfill something for you or they owe you something. And I will die on that hill.
I absolutely agree. And I think the perspective that I have going into this is I'm currently running a group that is literally called Adult Daughters of Difficult Mothers. And it's, I have every week 30 to 40 women, adult women that show up that are all very intelligent, very successful, in happy marriages and relationships of their own, parents themselves, who have very complicated relationships with their mothers. And when you hear the stories, it's wild to me how I pausing in that to kind of detour, and then I'll land the plane back to it, is I think what I struggled with in this is there's kind of this like absolving of any sort of accountability, unless it is in the extreme.
Yeah.
Like she's like, no, it's really good that like we're better at calling out abuse.
Mm-hmm.
But then she's like, when I got pregnant, I realized how much I didn't understand and how much my parents loved me. And it's like, yeah, that's great. But also, and this is what I think a lot of like boomers who are pushing back on a lot of like Gen X, millennial, Gen Z therapy culture, is they're like, well, this was never a problem when I did it. Yeah. I was never allowed to speak to my parents this way. I was never allowed to speak to my in-laws this way. I couldn't behave this way. And it's like, well, right there is the problem.
Right.
Right? Right there is the problem that for centuries, nobody was ever able to say what they were annoyed by from their family members. And now that people are finally doing that, there's this digging in of the heels by many parents and family members that are not interested in changing or taking any accountability. And that is what's causing the problem. Mm-hmm. And so many, every single one of the women that I have chatted with in this group and, you know, people that I'm working with right now, they go to their parents with the concerns.
Yeah.
They go to them and give them the chance to try to repair, to try to deal with it. And they get met with, well, that just means I was a bad mom. I'm so sorry I was such a bad mom, or I'm so sorry I was such a bad dad.
Mm-hmm.
And this dismissal of it and this like boomerang effect of them becoming the victim and the child that brought it to them feeling that they now have to apologize and they have to. And so I think what we're really missing here is, I personally think at a larger level across like generational divides, the issue we're having is there's an accountability crisis.
Yeah.
I think we're having a deep, deep accountability crisis.
Well, look at our leaders.
Look at our leaders. Literally. Like, look at what is going on. Everything is okay. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's something to be said of, yeah, maybe are there certain situations where maybe there are adult children that have held their parents to too high of a standard? Sure. Mm-hmm. Are the parents willingly engaging in a discussion with them about it and willing to talk about it and hold space with it? More often than not, no. Mm-hmm. And so neither side is willing to acknowledge where they may have fallen short mm-hmm. in the dynamic and the relationship and mistakes they made. Mm-hmm. And so now everybody's just mad and nobody's talking to each other and everybody's saying, well, it's your fault, it's your fault, it's your fault. Mm-hmm. But so I think the point that she's missing is she's kind of like pointing the finger at the symptoms of the problem.
Yeah.
Where the larger problem is all of us in our own ways are suffering with being able to pull ourselves out of our own egos right now. And so much of the content that we're being served across interests and topics and all of it is this like you above all else, you above all else, you, which is kind of new.
Yeah.
Right. And I think there's a lot of people that need that reminder that you can assert yourself, you can have opinions and boundaries and those sorts of things. But then nobody wants to take accountability for when they mess up.
Yeah.
And then nobody wants to take accountability when someone comes to them and says, hey, this hurt me.
Yeah.
And I shared with Amanda before we got on when we were kind of like debriefing on how we wanted to do this. I said, you know, my parents and I went through a huge knockdown, drag out shift in our relationship in like the early to mid 2010s. And it was about a 3 to 5 year process.
Yeah.
And my parents both individually had their very prevalent childhood traumas and things mm-hmm. that they went through. And I had my trauma that I went through. And it was kind of this explosion of everybody realizing what everybody went through mm-hmm. and kind of going to our respective corners and working on it and coming together. And what I'm very lucky for, I guess, and I didn't realize how rare this was my parents were willing to go do the work.
Yeah.
And not just for me, but for them. They realized it was impacting them. And it was hard. And mm-hmm. we've had really hard conversations mm-hmm. and been really open and honest with each other about our experiences and things. And now we're finally in a place over the last couple of years where things are okay. Mm-hmm. And we've moved on and our relationships have shifted and grown and matured. But I think people are really scared by that process.
Yeah. Right? I agree.
They're very intimidated by going through that type of a transition because you don't know where you're going to land. Mm-hmm. You don't know where you're going to end up when you go on that journey of taking accountability for things and asking the people around you to take accountability for their things. Mm-hmm. And so to me, I think this article, as well-intentioned as it is, it completely misses the point. And I think it's trying to simplify it into this like, well, if we were all just willing to realize how much they loved us. It's like, well, I've heard stories of a lot of parents that I'm not convinced they really deeply. I think they loved their kids biologically. Mm-hmm. I don't think any of their actions showed that they loved their kids. Mm-hmm. I think there was a huge problem with dismissiveness and minimizing and not talking about things. And even well-intentioned parents make mistakes.
That's what I was going to say is like, even if like, I do believe that a lot of parents don't mean to, they don't yes. know better. They repeat what happened to them. But again, it seems like we always go back to as a culture, like we are supposed to tolerate more from mm-hmm. our families. Mm-hmm. And like I can hear her point about how we've changed the way trauma is defined and harm mm-hmm. and abuse. And I think that is like a real issue that we've talked about and we will do more episodes on. What she's missing is it's not that we keep making trauma a bigger word even in this context. The problem is that people won't acknowledge it. Whether yeah. like, yes, a paper cut is not an amputation, mm-hmm. but a paper cut is still a paper cut. And your parent should be able to acknowledge the paper cut.
Yeah.
And the parent might be yep. upset. The parent might be like, well, it wasn't an amputation. It was a paper cut. And they have a right to feel that way. But they still, I think what we owe each other is acknowledgement, is compassion, is listening. Baseline. And that to me is the bigger issue. And I think people really underestimate how much parents, how much children will want to be with their parents. They want to have a relationship with their parents and will sacrifice a lot in many cases to have that relationship. Mm-hmm. But at bare minimum, most people need acknowledgement, not even apologies, because I think apologies is this like contentious word, or doing the work. I think a lot of parents, when I hear their argument, it's like, there are such high expectations. I can't do it. I can't blah, 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 blah. A lot of it isn't even doing that much. And you kind of alluded to this too, Sam. What you said is like, yes, it's amazing that your parents did work and apologized and things like that. But they listened undefensively and said, I hear you. But that, I think, is what's missing. Like, yes, trauma being co-opted, the word harm and all those words changing does have real consequences. I just don't think it's relevant to this conversation is how I feel about it. When I'm looking at the article also, right, they talked about how when they interviewed, they did like a big study interviewing estrangement and how, right, people kind of said they didn't listen to me or they're a narcissist or they're toxic or things like that. And again, I think there are a small portion of people who probably aren't super mentally healthy that that's happened to. And it is like heartbreaking for those parents. But I don't think we even hear from those parents because they aren't the ones being defensive. They're the ones that are like, I don't know what to do. I need help. I think it's just frustrating. Like even what she talked about with as therapy, our obsession with parents and stuff, I think that's a very old trope. A lot of therapy these days does not always just go to blame the parents. And I think there are very real biological differences in children. There are personality differences, right? We talk about how people pleasing isn't just trauma. I give her credit. She's at least saying there's a link. She's not saying therapy culture causes estrangement. She could have done that. But I just think she brought up a lot of topics and I don't agree with the way she's interpreting them and a lot of conclusions. And I think it's also clear in the article she didn't talk to that many therapists.
No.
She talked to one. She talked to Joshua Coleman. That was her primary source, who has – yeah, he has more of a religious background.
I liked that you brought up the idea of, like, people just want to, like, be listened to, because I think many of these parents who are on the warpath about what they believe therapy culture essentially has caused their children to do and the boundaries that they're – children are trying to hold with them. I don't think they're understanding is how easy it would be to repair some of these rifts. I think they are vastly overestimating the amount of effort that it would take them to just be the 10% better that their kids are often asking them to be. And I would, if I had a parent who came to me and was like, my child doesn't talk to me, my child doesn't this, my question is always like, well, what was the reason they gave you?
Yeah.
What did they tell you? Like, did your child truly come to you one day and say, I've just decided I'm never talking to you again, goodbye?
Right.
I'm sorry. Like, it very rarely is that out of the blue. Sometimes, sure, there are people out there that could say that was how it happened for them. But I would say more often than not, there were a lot of conversations and attempts leading up to that that you didn't want to pay attention to, that you dismissed, that you belittled, that you ignored. And also, I have to tell you, when I have people that say they want to cut off their parents, in the reverse, I ask them, have they ever owned it? Have you brought to them that this was a problem? Have you communicated to them clearly and directly that this caused you harm? Do you fly off the handle because you have so much anger that you haven't dealt with that it's causing them to shut down and feel defensive? And so everybody's in the trenches. Like, absolutely, there's a world where you can be exploratory of, have we in our own limited perception blown something out of proportion? Sure. But it's also very victim blamey to say, one, well, if you just have a baby, you'll finally have full understanding. Actually, everybody that I've ever worked with says having a baby opened their eyes to the gaps in their experience, in addition to having empathy for their parents at times, but like, that's odd. And then also saying like, well, our standards for them are too high, which mm-hmm. I think, if we're being honest, the pressure for parents is coming from other parents.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Yeah.
I don't think it's kids. I think kids are like, dude, I just want you to love me. Like, I don't care about having everything. I don't care about having access to every opportunity.
Or if they are, that is like not their actual desire. And you have to be able to look under that and recognize if your child is upset that you won't buy them something, there's something else going on.
I think what makes me mad, and we've had this conversation in previous podcasts, is I'm really annoyed with how moms are treating other moms.
Yeah.
Like I'm annoyed with the judgment and the lack of understanding that moms mm-hmm. and dads and parents are having amongst themselves, and the finger pointing mm-hmm. and the blaming and the, well, you're not doing this and you have to do this. Mm-hmm. And this is like, I think I get frustrated that the finger is always pointed at the kids, and it's like, well, what about your peers?
Yeah.
There are some pretty judgy people out there.
I would love to share with you about my practice, Therapy for Women Center. We are located in the Philadelphia area, but we have licensed therapists in 42 states across the country. So if you're listening, we probably can see you. We also have quite a few trauma specialists. A huge portion of our therapists do EMDR, which is fantastic for trauma work. And we really believe in helping clients not only, you know, get better from their mental health, but also really live lives that are in alignment with who they are and what they want. So check out therapyforwomencenter.com to learn more. And we would love to help you in this process.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
I also get frustrated that somehow it feels like we, right, in any other relationship, if one of my clients came to me, if anyone came to me, besides maybe a stranger on the street or a troll, came to me and said, you did something that hurt me, I would listen to them. But it doesn't mean I agree, right? It doesn't mean I like accept it necessarily. You can listen to someone and validate them and hear what they have to say without agreeing. And I think it's really insane how we act as though what is a norm in other relationships, like friendships, acquaintances, other mm-hmm. people, mm-hmm. because it's a parent to a child, like we shouldn't ever have to acknowledge or hear from a child that we did something wrong. And I think it goes back to, right, like this whole idea of back in the early, you know, 20th century, children should be seen, not heard, discipline, what a child, you know, all of that stuff, rather than this is an individual human being, especially a lot of the estranged kids we're talking about are fully fledged adults. We're talking about adults.
Right. Right.
So they deserve even more like equality and respect. And it, like, I want to ask these parents a lot of times, like, if your friend said that you hurt them, wouldn't you listen to them? Wouldn't you be curious? If not, why won't you listen to your kid?
The hard part is sometimes I don't think they would.
Yeah, I guess that's fair.
We owe each other listening. We owe each other willingness to like take accountability when we mess up. What I like to remind people is like, there can be a time and a place for explaining your side of the story. Mm-hmm. And there's also a way that you explain your story that allows for the other person to hear you out and maybe give you more credit and leeway, right? First of all, I'm sorry you feel that way is never the answer.
I'm sorry. Period. I hear you. Period.
Like that's, you know, and then you let them share their part and say, you know, you could even just say like, if I may, can I explain what my perception was? Mm-hmm. And then you go in it and you say, however, I can see looking at it, how that came across and how that felt. And I own that and I'm sorry. That's like de-escalating.
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty, like, someone might still be upset, but it's pretty rare that someone would be like, you're just such a bitch.
The thesis we're kind of also coming up with, I think, is it's like lack of communication skills is maybe causing estrangement. But I also think it's, because I'm sure there are parents out there, and I get it, who say, they've told me the same thing like a million times over and over again. I can't keep hearing about it. And what I would say to that is that you probably haven't fully heard them, because people don't feel heard and resolved if you are doing the interrupting, saying, but sharing your side, I'm sorry that you feel that way. Like you were saying, if you're not fully hearing and just listening, people don't feel heard and then they need to repeat themselves.
Right.
A lot, but it can be solved through fully listening in most cases.
And letting them finish.
Yeah.
Don't cut them off.
Yeah.
Don't try to like jump in the middle and start the self-advocacy tour, right? There's a moment for that. It's okay if someone brings something to you and you just pause and say, I feel really uncomfortable right now because I feel so bad.
Yeah.
Like, understand that if someone has brought something to you and you start to feel super uncomfortable, there's a chance that underneath that it's because you actually feel awful that that happened.
Or it's hard to hear.
It's hard to hear. It's hard to hear that something that you thought was harmless caused someone harm.
Yeah.
And it's worst case scenario for people pleasing individuals. I think, too, this is where vulnerability actually comes into play. Because navigating through something like this is where you build vulnerability and intimacy. If your child comes to you and says, you hurt me, or this hurt me, you staying calm and you listening to them fully is going to make a world of difference in how they respond in turn. And more often than not, what they're looking for is the acknowledgement. They're not coming to you for a reason. They're not wanting a reason, right? They're wanting you to say, just like you were alluding to, Amanda, like they're wanting you to hear them, hear them completely. And to just like put your hands up sometimes and say, you know, I don't understand it and I believe you.
Mm-hmm.
Believing your kid's experience. Even if you don't think it went that way, even if you might disagree, believing your kid's experience, their perception, and taking it as truth is going to be so healing and so empowering to your relationship, which leads to vulnerability. And a lot of people assume that vulnerability is this thing that happens when you hold boundaries.
Yeah.
Or when you share trauma, or when you talk about something that's impacting you. Vulnerability is actually crafted in these moments. because these moments where you are both sitting in the rawness of your feeling, and this is you can have this in your relationship, in your marriage, with your friends, with your coworkers.
In therapy, like, this is rupture therapy. And repair.
This is rupture and repair. If you can sit in that discomfort, and if you can take a minute to just witness each other in that, nobody has to be right. Nobody has to be wrong. You just have to let it exist. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, there is trust built that the two of you can actually have difficult conversations.
Yes.
And I think if we're going to keep on the parent-child train, that is what I think a lot of these boomer-aged parents are missing. Now, I think there's a conversation to be had that they are woefully lacking in these skills because it just didn't exist back then. You can talk about it. But if you just allow it to be seen, even if you don't fully understand it,
yep,
even if you have a different interpretation of what it was, that conversation can come. Because guess what? When you build that trust with your kid that you can handle that type of information, that you can handle hearing that from them, that you can sit in the discomfort of that, they down the line will be more willing and open to your perspective. Yeah. Because you have earned their trust and they understand that there's a good chance that you are coming from a good place when you share that.
Yeah.
When they come to you with something vulnerable and you immediately spit on it, stomp on it with your foot, and then throw up your middle finger in front of them, why would they ever come to you again? Yeah. And if they do come to you twice, you have an angel of a child that is willing to do very hard things.
You know what's causing estrangement? Lack of communication skills, lack of emotional maturity.
The end. It's a problem. And I can tell you, these stories that I hear in this group are that. Deeply, deeply emotionally immature and fraught with victim blaming and shaming and bullying and the most heinous assumptions of what a parent-child relationship is. And your child is not meant to stay five forever. Mm-hmm. And if you want a relationship with your child, you have to be willing to adapt and change with your child as they adapt and change in different seasons of their life.
Yes.
And I think that is a very painful truth for a lot of parents right now. And I would even say for a lot of millennial parents right now. Mm-hmm. I think as a lot of millennial parents are starting to have older kids, I think they're feeling really daunted about keeping up with the changes with their kids. And that takes effort. And the more open you can be to learn from your kid, as your kid gets older and gets their own experiences and their own expertise, to be humble in that and recognize that maybe there are some things that they might know more than you.
Well, more than one thing can exist at the same time. And I think that's the problem, is that people feel completely attacked by someone saying something. And this is a problem society-wise, right? This is literally why the podcast Nuance Needed exists. People are so attached to their identity and their experience that they forget. And I think it's really interesting in this article, she talks about how maybe there's another perspective. And it's like, yeah, but also maybe there's another perspective of the child as well. Like, multiple things can be true at the same time. They don't all invalidate each other necessarily. Mm-hmm. And we need to be better at being able to tolerate differences of opinion. And you can listen to someone, hear what they're saying, believe them, and not agree.
Yeah.
Well, I hope this was helpful for you all who wanted to hear our thoughts about this article. Let us know what you think. We'd love to hear from you.
As always, anything you can do to support the pod. We love every single one of you that have rated us, shared, subscribed, reviewed, all of it. We are always paying attention because we really care about what you think, because we make this for you at the end of the day. This is made for you. So if you haven't done those things, we would love it more than anything if you could take the time to do that. It is very helpful for us as we are still growing and have some big milestones that we would like to hit. And so anything that you can do to rate, review, share, subscribe is amazing.
All right, everyone. We will see you next time.
Okay, bye.
Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.